Mr. Mackinder, Reel 1. I'd like to start off talking to you about the very beginning of the war. Now, you were only 16 when war was declared.
Yeah.
And at that tender age, you actually tried to volunteer. Why was that?
Well, I suppose having a patriotic nature and a friend of mine had been called to the colours that was on a naval reserve, and had and his wife had received news that three ships, the Hague, the Aboya, and the Cressy, had been sunk, and unfortunately her husband was aboard on.
So there was a certain element of revenge for your friend's death which motivated you?
Yes, I think so.
Any other particular things which made you feel that you ought to join up?
Well, I was always a tall and fairly fit lad, and seeing the picture of Kitchener and his finger pointing in the direction, apart from any position that you took up, the finger was always pointing to you. A wonderful poster, really, and I think it assisted recruitment very much.
This poster made quite an impression on you, did it?
It did. Yes, it did. Although I was in a screened, which subsequently proved to be a screen profession, my dad apprenticed me to jig and template making, which of course was an engineering occupation. I still thought I would like to have a go.
Well, what happened to you when you, at the tender age of 16, tried to enlist?
Well, I, through some disagreement with the management foreman, I resigned my job, and went to the recruiting office.
Where was that?
At Arlesden, and when I confronted the recruiting officer, he said that I was too young, although I'd said that I was 18 years of age. He said, "Well, I think you're too young, son." He said, "You come back." He said, "Come back another year or so." He didn't believe what I said, and I returned home. I never said anything to my parents, and I picked up my bowler hat, which my mother had bought me, and which was only taken into wear on Sundays, and I donned that thinking that it would make me look older, and I presented myself to the recruiting office again, to which this time there was no queries and I was accepted. My mother was very hurt very much when I arrived home and told her on that particular night that I had to report to Mill Hill next morning. And
were there no checks on birth certificates?
No, birth certificates were not asked for, no. Although I had one, not with me, but I had one.
So you would have been 16 when you joined?
I was 16 in the June as the war broke out in the August.
So you'd only have been 17 when you went over to France?
Yes, just 17 I was then, yes.
Do you have any memories of what the recruiting centres were like? Were they very busy and very crowded? Could you describe what you saw?
Oh, yes. there was all types of men who were presenting themselves to the colours, to join the colours, dressed indifferently and different various occupations.
Did the age of the volunteers seem to vary much?
They did, yes. There were all ages, really, from young lads to middle-aged men of 40, 45.
Now, after you enlisted, you joined the Middlesex Regiment and were posted to Colchester for your training. When you got to Colchester, were there a great many new recruits?
Oh, yes, there.
Yeah. Did the numbers create any particular difficulties of accommodation or feeding or anything?
No, the barracks were mostly occupied by regular troops. But a camp was some formed. An encampment, some hundreds of bell tents and marquees were erected, and we were organised in a few days.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Now, when you arrived, how long was it before you were issued with your uniform and equipment? Did you get it immediately?
Oh, no.
What happened?
No, we were issued with a kind of blue serge trousers and tunic-style coat. And also a forage cap. I think it had a little red piping around on the edge of it.
Shoes?
No shoe, no boots were issued. No, not in the first few weeks.
And how long was it before you were issued with your khaki and your other equipment?
Well, it was some time, I should say. It was 5 or 6 weeks. 5 or 6 weeks before we received any uniform, regulation uniform, such as khaki and...
When you got that issue, can you remember what the equipment and uniform that they gave you was like? What did it consist of?
Oh, it consisted of it was underpants were issued. Underpants. I can't remember the type of vests. Grey flannel shirts, the usual army type shirt. On khaki pants, putties, and a tunic, and a cap.
Any braces and webbing?
Yes, braces, but no webbing equipment. The equipment that was subsequently issued was leather harness. Leather ammunition pouches, one on each side of the belt, and a khaki valise pack, and kit bag, of course, to which you put your personal effects in, kept them in. Mm. Your name and number was... You're in the army now, so you had a number as well, and you were usually known by this number.
While you were at Colchester, I think that you met a few of the war wounded.
Yes, in the hospital there, those that were able came to the railings to which we converse with. When they related their experiences to us.
Did you learn much about the war from them?
Not a lot. They were rather reluctant to talk of their own experiences. They mentioned everything would be nice and quiet for a time, and then you'd try to press on. You'd go through a wood, a copse, and you'd probably be surprised by meeting quite a few Uhlans. Mm. The German mounted regiments.
When the training got underway, did any of the volunteers, including yourself, find it particularly hard?
Yes, the difficulty was that the more elderly or staid recruit of 40 years of age or a few years older would find it rather difficult to cope with the physical training exercises to which he would suffer discomfort and pain at the end of the day. But his physical training instructor said, "Oh, you come out in the morning, go through the same procedure, and you're unfit. But when you feel fit, you'll feel fine. And another course of exercise like that will take all that stiffness away from you." Mm. Which was perfectly correct.
Yeah. Mm. Let's talk a bit about the weapon training. What kind of equipment did you have to train with?
Well, we were issued with an old Martin Henry, rifle, which was very much heavier and more cumbersome than the Lee Enfield Mark 3, 4, I think it was, type. The aperture sight was very difficult to slope arms with.
Why was it difficult?
The aperture sight used to catch on the hand between the thumb and the hand itself, and quite a number suffered just minor injuries in doing so.
You also did some bomb training at Colchester. What kind of bombs did you train with?
Well, they were an old type of bomb known as the cricket ball, which was round with a steel casing, old iron casing, wrought iron casing, and a fishtail type of bomb. Mm.
Let's stick on the cricket ball one. What was the drill for throwing that?
Well, the drill was that one never act in throwing the bomb. The arm must not be bent. The arm had to be kept straight, and a motion illustrated by the instructor was that it was levered over with the help of the body, bending the body, and with both arms extended.
Was there a fuse to light or anything?
There was a fuse to light.
How'd you do that?
A neighbouring cigarette or... Yes, they were used, I understand, in the early stages of the war, but they were not. They were proved to be not very satisfactory on account of the round image of the ball, of the cricket ball, which would easily fall off the hand, especially if you were throwing it from a trench, as it had a tendency to hit the back of the wall of the trench when you were about to throw it. And so they were considered not satisfactory. But as the years went on, or as the months went on, the Mills' bomb was proved to be a wonderful invention.
Mm.